All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, and it is Thursday, so we are digging deeper into the Psalms, this week looking at Psalms 108 and 109. A couple of wonderful Psalms of David. We keep getting a sprinkling of these David Psalms throughout, which is why David is typically known as the psalmist. But here we have two of them that are truly desires and prayers for help in time of need. So quickly we have Psalm 108. A song, a psalm of David. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer me. God has promised in his holiness, with exaltation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my scepter. Moab is my wash basin, upon Edom I cast my shoe. Over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go out, O God, with our armies. O grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes. So far, Psalm 108. David calls out for God to look upon him, who is steadfast in heart, seeking the mercy of God, because God has not been seen as so merciful. His steadfast love endures forever, but it often seems that when he is punishing his people, his punishment does not come out of love and is not tempered by mercy, but that it is completely done out of wrath and anger. And so he says in verses 7-9, with exaltation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Succoth. Shechem is the city and kingdom where Jacob's daughter Dinah was raped by the prince. And then Simeon and Levi give up their line in the birthrights by taking out all of the men as they were recovering from their forced circumcision to pay for that violation. The Valley of Succoth is one of the valleys where it was always seemingly in turmoil in the kingdom. It was not a place where people enjoyed going because that was a battleground. Gilead is mine. That is the portion of the kingdom that was the tribes of like Naphtali and Zebulun and the town of Dan. Manasseh is mine, the whole tribe of it, the half on one side of the Jordan, half on the other. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah is my scepter. Judah is where the king would come from, which is where David descends from, which then of course means that's where Jesus descends from as well. Ephraim is my helmet, is that he is the shelter for Judah in the divided kingdom. Even though this is written by David, this is that land, especially the tribe of Ephraim. If you remember from Joshua, Caleb asking, as he is one of the representatives and probably the oldest member of the tribe of Ephraim, wanting to take out the giants in the mountains. That's what he wanted. This is the helmet that God is talking about here. Moab is my wash basin. Moab is always a thorn in the side, even though David's great-grandmother was Moabite. Upon Edom I cast my shoe. There's always going to be issues between Israel and Edom, period. End of discussion. Over Philistia, again, always going to be issues between the Israelites and the Philistines. It's never going to change. These are the people that God had promised to get rid of out of the promised land. These are the people that God had then chosen, when Israel would not get rid of them, to be the thorns in their sides for all of their recorded history. From King Saul fighting and dying in battle against the Philistines, through David and his assaults with the Philistines, and on all the way down through the kingdom of Israel, their one common enemy was the Philistines on the Mediterranean coast. So he ends the psalm with the prayer, O grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. Again, another way of putting, do not put your trust in princes. They are not going to happen. They can only do what they are physically able to do. And once they are beyond that ability, they're no help to you. With God, verse 13, we shall do valiantly. It is He who will tread down our foes. David bringing to remembrance again the promise that God had given to Joshua, that he was going ahead of the Israelites to drive out the people from the land. He was the one who was going to fight the battles, but it was then Israel that became complacent and gave trouble for all the generations to come. All right, that's Psalm 108. We'll get into Psalm 109 in a second. Again, this is a prayer of help in that time of need. Psalm 109 is that penitential nature of the Psalms that cries out to God for help because God has turned his back away from his people because of their sins. So David sends Psalm 109 to the choir master. Be not silent, O God of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are open against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer. So they reward me evil for good and hatred for my love. These words most readily resonate with the time where he is being ousted by his son Absalom. The son whom he loved, the son who was the heir apparent, but the son who decided to take matters into his own hands. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer. They reward me with evil for good. David had given Absalom everything he wanted. Absalom repaid that by taking away the kingdom from him, by turning the hearts of Israel away from David. We go on. Appoint a wicked man against him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he has tried, let him come forth guilty. Let his prayer be counted as sin. May his days be few. May another take his office. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children wander about and beg, seeking food far from the ruins they inhabit. May the creditor seize all that he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his toil. Let there be none to extend kindness to him, nor any to pity his fatherless children. May his posterity be cut off. May his name be blotted out in the second generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Appoint a wicked man against him. Well, David is probably not thinking of Absalom and wanting to see him dead, because the sins of the father, well, that would be him. And he already knows that there's going to be something going on in his family that requires the payment of the former sins from his time with Bathsheba before the birth of Solomon. And it's one of those times where we have those great moments crying out for the sheer torture and torment of our enemies. And they can even be, even if they are the members of our own household. We move on to verse 16. For he did not remember to show kindness, but pursued the poor and needy and the brokenhearted to put them to death. He loved to curse, let curses come from upon him. He did not delight in blessing, may it be far from him. He clothed himself with cursing as his coat. May it soak into his body like water, like oil into his bones. May it be like a garment that he wraps around him, like a belt that he puts on every day. May this be the reward of my accusers from the Lord, of those who speak evil against my life. Here I think David is bringing out the promise that God had given to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who dishonors you, I will curse. This is what David is calling down upon all of his enemies, whether it's Absalom or Joab later or any of the great enemies that come up against him. Let them be wiped out. Let their name no longer be remembered on the earth. And while they are still alive, let that wrap them up like a garment, almost like a straitjacket, that they may truly be consumed by it. Because that is what he thinks should be done. And we think that naturally too, that the evil that people do should be repaid to them. It's called karma. Except for, yes, there is good karma that, you know, you do good things will happen to you. Yes, there's that part of it. But we want to focus a lot of times on making sure that those who do evil against us get evil paid back. And that is what David is asking for in this psalm right here. He picks up in verse 21. But you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is stricken within me. I am gone like a shadow at evening, I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, my body has become gaunt with no fat. I am an object of scorn to my accusers, when they see me, they wag their heads. And here is one of those times where we see not only it being something from the life of David, but from the life of Jesus as well. I am poor and needy. My heart is stricken within me. I am gone like a shadow at evening. I am shaken off like a locust. That is what happens when he is arrested. He is shaken off by the disciples like he is a locust that has landed on their sleeve. His knees are weak through fasting. Body has become gaunt because he has fasted ever since the Last Supper that he had with his disciples. He says, I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they wag their heads. The Gospels point this out when they talk about the crucifixion and talking about the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes coming, wagging their heads, saying, you who would rebuild the temple in 3 days, come down and save yourself. This is where it comes from. This is where we find it. So he finishes off the psalm. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to your steadfast love. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you will bless. They arise and are put to shame, but your servant will be glad. May my accusers be clothed with dishonor. May they be wrapped in their own shame as in a cloak. Again, that same imagery of a cloak, but also more like we would think of as a straitjacket. With my mouth, I will give great thanks to the Lord. I will praise him in the midst of the throng, for he stands at the right hand of the needy one to save him from those who condemn his soul to death. Here we have more attributions that could link us right back to Psalm 22, in the end saying, I will speak of your name in the great congregation. I will tell of your wondrous deeds to a people yet unborn. That this is the same idea in Psalm 109, that the crucifixion of Jesus, God's deliverance of him, is not taking him down off the cross. His deliverance of him is raising him from the dead on the third day, showing through all the miracles that happened on Good Friday, but also those that happened afterwards with the apostles and all of that, to let everyone know that he is the Messiah. He is the sacrifice that is for the whole world. The sacrifice necessary to forgive you of your sins. the sacrifice necessary to make sure that God will look upon you, not in wrath, not in disfavor, but seeking your good, seeking to bless you because you are in His Son. All right, that's it for this week as we wrap up Psalms 108, 109. Next week, we'll get into 110 through 112. I encourage you to come back as this month we are going through the treatise on the power and primacy of the Pope on Confessional Corner. Next month, we'll get into the catechisms for at least the rest of the year, if not into a good portion of the following year as well. And also, always, check out the Pro Wrestling America side of it. See if you like that. Hey, if you're not a wrestling fan, I understand. But it is one of my loves, along with teaching theology. So I encourage you to be there for that as well. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here, digging deeper into the Psalms, so that you may be better equipped to wrestle with the theology around you. Amen.